fighting for America.
Rooting out a cancer like ISIL won't be easy and it won't be quick. But tyrants and murderers before them should recognize that kind of hateful vision ultimately is no match for the strength and hopes of people who stand together.
Fighting for Idaho.
We will kickstart our economy. We will reform K-12 education, and we will get Arizona out from underneath the thumb of our federal government.
Fighting for you.
It's that time of year for the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Our friend Scott Spencer with us.
It's an iconic community tradition, and I'm so pleased that my guys are all involved in it. I get very excited about it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. It is Kevin Miller with you. 580 KIDO coming up at 636, Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law. And one thing I like about Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law, is that he never calls in. He's always here, so he's just kind of goofing off in the studio, having a good time, getting, working on his computer. That's kind of the good thing, I guess. It's always good to be working on your computer. Never mind that we need to concentrate. If you've ever listened to this show, it's like massive ADD all the time. Coming up, we will have a live report from Mark Johnson from Channel 7. In addition to that, an emotional story that unfortunately we didn't get to yesterday, this tragedy involving the 9-year-old with the Uzi. And Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law, wants to speak about that. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we in fact will have, we'll be at the Balloon Classic. We're looking forward to being there. And we invite everybody to stop down, Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Certainly in the morning would be great, the night glow and everything else. And we look forward to that. Now, while Mark finishes up his live shot with Channel 7, another few issues that I want to talk about today. It seems to be that everybody is distracted here, but let's take a listen to this clip by our great friend Chris Troupas.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
All right, there we have it. Chris Troupas's comment there here at 580 KIDO. Let's hear that one more time.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
All right, there we have it. Just let's just leave my mic on here as we move along here at 580 KIDO. So are we living that today? Are we living that today where we have everybody pumped up about sports, pumped up about everything else? That's, I think, the question of the day as we move along here. On the other hand, you take a look at it. It's great that football is back. It's great that we have all these sports teams there. It'd be nice if we had the same attention for John Bujak. It'd be nice if we have the same attention for everybody else when we're talking politics and the like, right? But we don't. We don't. And Chris Troupas' statement there, go have your sports, go have a good time. We're all living in it. And I guess you should say that I'm one of the biggest hypocrites, if you will, when it comes to that. The idea of everybody's just involved with the sports. National news, as you heard at the top of the hour from Fox News Radio, the Russians have been invading our banks. That's right. The Russians haven't been invading our banks. How about this? Dave Petzl is always talking about banks here. But the Russians hacked American banks. And I thought the Russians were our friends. I thought the Chinese were our friends. I thought everybody was our friend. Think about that while we're moving along here, right? I'm just sitting here amazed by this. When we're talking about giving aid to Russia, when we're talking about bad guy Putin, when we're talking about everybody else, that we just sit here and allow our friends to do this. Anyway, we'll have more on that in a minute.
This is the first time there's a state out there since 9/11 where possibly terrorists could train, prepare the kind of attack that they delivered on 9/11. They haven't had the space to do that until now. This potentially would give enemies who have terrorist intentions some place to train to prepare that larger attack that we should be very worried about.
And there we have it. There we have it, the threat from ISIS, number one. And number two, now we have our friends, the Russians, and now we have our friends, the Chinese. And apparently, coming up, we'll have another friend of ours, Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law, coming up at 6:36. He'll tell us about the grid attacks. Is there anything that Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law, doesn't know? So we'll talk to him about that coming up. But the big game is tonight. And joining us now, our great friend, Mark Johnson from Channel 7. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How in the world are you? It's game day. New season.
You know, I got to tell you, we're all so jealous just watching your package there. You and Jay on the set of Game Day, hanging out at the College Football Hall of Fame. Incredible.
You know what? That was an experience that was a little above the bar that I had set for that particular event. College Football Hall of Fame. Oh, my gosh. Goosebumps looking at the late, great Randy Troutman and his exhibit. And, you know, Kevin, I don't know if you've been to South Bend where the old Hall of Fame used to be, but it was not even close compared to what this Hall of Fame is all about. It's really, really remarkable.
Well, Mark, let's hope it finds a permanent home. I think, wasn't it in, like, Cincinnati, then in South Bend, and now in Atlanta? It's kind of a roving Hall of Fame.
It was, and it was just kind of, you know, there were nice plaques up that had statistics and pictures of all of those that were inducted. This is got interactive, and this is all about making sure that the kids are part of the fan experience. All ages there. I saw Brian Harsin's son with his buddy who made this trip do that ESPN game day experience, and those guys hammed it up, and they were howling. They didn't get that kind of experience in South Bend. This is pretty remarkable.
Now, Mark, not to throw any anti-technology vibe out here at 580KIDO, but, you know, I'm kind of like a plaque guy. Have you sold out with the technology?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a plaque guy, too. But when I got a chance to see Randy Troutman's video and I could touch a little dot that would show him in action at Bronco Stadium from 1980 during the national championship year, that really got me going and gave me some goosebumps, and I didn't get that experience in South Bend.
Now, Mark, you'll have to be diligent with me here to let me know how long we have you. We don't want to take too much of your time. I know you've got to do your day job, but for you personally,
no worries. I'm actually playing the grunt right now, getting coffee for my crew. So, you know, sometimes you see me in front of the camera, behind the camera, I'm pretty much a gopher.
Well, yeah, this is in-depth team coverage.
Yeah, it is in-depth.
I have to ask you, though, is it nice for you sometimes to take a break from news and return to sports and, you know, do these fun stories, these uplifting stories?
You know, I tell people I get the best of both worlds. I get a chance to talk to and ask questions of our newsmakers, but they also send me on some of the biggest sports stories that I get a front row seat for. So I'm blessed. I'm really, really excited about being here and being part of our coverage and the fact that we do get a front row seat for an exciting time for Boise State, and the fact that here's a local guy who's back home. Came back home, a little circuitous route, but he's back home. He's going to have a long honeymoon. I mean, not to say that they're not going to win tonight, because I believe they have a good chance of winning, but I really believe that if he doesn't win tonight, if Brian Harsin doesn't win tonight, I think the fans will still be engaged and encouraged about what he's done and the tonic that he's brought to this program. So, yeah, in answer to your question, I'm pretty excited about being here, being able to cover these major sports events, which really, really, they evolve, and it goes beyond sports. I mean, you think about it. People are talking about this right now in the radio station lunchroom who could care less about sports on a daily basis. But they're talking about this game, they're talking about this program, and they're talking about this coach.
Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7 here at 580KIDO. So before we get to the coverage, because we want to know what y'all are doing tonight and throughout the day and throughout the morning at Channel 7, what's your prediction?
I like Boise State to keep it close. I think there's a chance in the fourth quarter that they're going to be hanging in there. And then, hello, Oklahoma, 2007 Fiesta Bowl. Who knows what happens when the underdog has a chance at the very end? You know, I just think if Boise State is within a touchdown with under 6 minutes to go, I think they got a shot to win the game.
What's the atmosphere like for the Bronco fans and the Bronco team down there in the ATL, Mark?
You know, it's funny, Kevin. Boise State fans are not, you know, you can't pinpoint Boise State fans to just Boise, Idaho. And
I ran into a couple from Gulfport, Mississippi, that are here with a couple of other couples from Mississippi in full Bronco regalia, rooting for Boise State. There are fans here from Atlanta. You think about where Bronco Nation has gone and has spanned out to, and no matter where we go on the road, you find Boise State fans, whether it's in Washington, D.C., when we were there for the Virginia Tech game, or if it's in Seattle, Washington, for last year for Washington, or if it's in, you know, East Lansing, Michigan, for Michigan State. So people are saying, oh, there's only 2,000 Boise State tickets that got sold for this game. Well, that's out of Boise State. There's going to be another 2,000 Boise State fans that are here from the southeast that have driven down here from, you know, the Carolinas. And so Boise State, Bronco Nation, you can't sell them short, because it's a real true fan experience no matter where you go on the road with these guys.
Well, as someone who's covered big events and has been so much of the atmosphere here in Idaho, are you surprised that Boise has become a national program? You have East Coast, Southern Broncos, if you will.
Well, if you would have asked me that when I first came to Boise in 1983 in the Lyle Settentich area, I probably would have said yes. I'm super surprised. But having seen what Dirk Cutter built and what Dan Hawkins took to the next level, and then, of course, what Chris Peterson did after the building blocks that Hawk left him, no, I'm not surprised. I am concerned about the major five conferences squeezing the mid-majors like Boise State out, and I think that's going to happen in our lifetime. But right now I'm not surprised that they have elevated the national status that they've elevated to.
How do you see this playing out tonight? I guess Ole Miss is very big. Have you had a chance to look at the Rebels? And, of course, Mark, being from the South, everybody there has a take on Southern Fried Football.
Yeah, I have. And I've seen that that offensive line of Ole Miss. And, you know, there's 320, 330-pound offensive linemen. And then you've got, you know, Capital High School's Corey Bell, the senior this year, just a little over 200 pounds going up against those guys and trying to cut the corner. It's a real SEC football team, and they're big. It's probably the biggest team that Boise State will face all year long. It's going to test Boise State's offensive line. They're a young offensive line. There's only two guys coming back that have experience on that offensive line in Division I college football. So, yeah, it's going to be a real test. But one thing I will say, Kevin, Brian Harsin, the Chris Peterson protege, is not going to let an SEC team exploit his weaknesses. He is going to make sure that his weaknesses are protected, that he's taking advantage of his strengths. And I'll tell you what, like I said about Chris Peterson, you give a guy like Brian Harsin 6 months to game plan for one team, and I think he's got a chance.
Mark Johnson joining us live from Atlanta, Channel 7. Let's talk a little about their coverage here at 580KIDO. So are you guys going to get any sleep? I mean, you've got everybody there. You're working hard. You're Facebooking what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on today?
Sleep is so overrated, isn't it, Kevin?
Yes.
Overrated.
Yes.
Come on. It's game day. It's funny. Our sports director, Jay Tust, wasn't scheduled to do the morning shows with Carolyn and myself at the stadium, which we're doing right now. And that explains why there's some pounding going on. There's signs going up here for fans, telling them where the fan zones are. But Jay jumped out of bed this morning and said, you know what? It's game day. I got to be there. And so there's Jay Tust right alongside Carolyn Holly. He jumped out of the car, saw that Carolyn was doing her live hit, and he jumped right in there and said, here we go. Here we go. Let's make this happen. So, yeah, it's game day for those of us in the media as well.
I imagine. How's the attention there? Georgia Dome, of course, a huge venue. They're getting ready for a new one there in Atlanta. But, I mean, do you have the same amount of attention since it is opening day of college football?
Well, down here, most of the attention is geared towards Saturday's game. Alabama is coming in here to play West Virginia on Saturday. So, That's kind of the it game in Atlanta this week. But the Chick-fil-A kickoff tonight, they're expecting a crowd of somewhere in the 40,000 range.
Oxford, Mississippi is only a five-hour drive from here, so there's going to be a lot of Ole Miss Rebel fans coming to this game. But it doesn't quite have that the Saturday game will have, although this is a national game, ESPN covering this, and, of course, doing all the sights and sounds of the brand-new College Football Hall of Fame. So there is some excitement, but certainly not at the level that Saturday will have down here.
Mark, final thought, because, again, we appreciate your time here at 580KIDO. You go back to having spent time in Birmingham and Atlanta myself. There is an obsession with Boise State, with the SEC fans. I don't know if you've had a chance to pick up on that because they see this program without the resources, but with great coaches, great players, and that has done the unthinkable. The Boise State is on the radar, and having gone into Atlanta and beating Georgia, beating Virginia Tech, this is kind of a redemption shot for Ole Miss within the SEC.
It is, and you think about, can you still hear me, Kevin?
Yes, Mark.
Okay, good. We have a hands-free policy at Channel 7, as you know, the Just Drive campaign, hands-free, so I've got you going on my Bluetooth and my rental Hyundai, and so I've got hands-free right now. I just want to make sure you can hear me fine. And there's also some history between Ole Miss and Boise State. Of course, when Houston Nutt left the program after 1 year and went to Arkansas. Of course, he was at Arkansas for a couple of years, and then he went to Ole Miss, but he maintained some of his relationships in Boise, and one of them has been me. And I've gotten a chance to talk to Houston a few times in the last few years, and he's now an analyst for Fox Sports. But he said there's a lot of similarities between what's happening now at Boise State and what's been happening for the last couple of years at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, of course, went through the depths of the SEC. They were one of the bottom dwellers, the floor mats, if you will. And now they are rebuilding with Coach Freeze, and they're trying to make a run at this. And Houston really feels like they're a fledgling Boise State, the way Chris Peterson brought Boise State up. He feels like this is the same kind of thing. The difference is it's a little easier to recruit an SEC to an SEC school than it is to a mid-major in Boise, Idaho, so he's able to get those 340-pound offensive linemen. And it's going to be really interesting to see how these two match up tonight.
Mark, finally, any trick plays that Coach Harsin has tipped you off to that we should look out for? Maybe you've gotten to call a couple plays.
We've asked him about that. We said, are you gonna open up the playbook and just go crazy? And he said, we've got a few things planned. He said, we're going to try to use them in the right situation. But you got to remember, Brian Harsin is the one who called the Statue of Liberty. He's the one at the Fiesta Bowl that used to throw that thing out there and told Zebranski, hey, let's try this in practice. And he's the one that put that bug in Pete's ear and said, I think this is the time to go for it, Coach. So if you think he's going to be conservative for the full game tonight, I think you would be mistaken. I think you're going to see something pulled out of the hat tonight from Coach Harsin and the rest of the guys.
Well, Mark Johnson, have some Bojangles, some sweet tea, some Dreamland. I know you're going to need the fuel.
Well, I'm just hoping that Ray Amaya punches up Ray Charles, Georgia on my mind, because it wouldn't be a Georgia experience without the late, great Ray Charles singing Little Georgia.
Wait a minute. You're driving in your car, you're hands-free, and now you're calling music all the way back here?
I know Ray Amaya. He can handle it.
Well, Mark, thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
All right. Good talking to you.
All right. There we have it. Mark Johnson joining us. It is 6:24. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm just hoping that Ray Amaya punches up Georgia on my mind, because it wouldn't be a Georgia experience.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps George on my mind.
All right, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. I do want to go back to a couple things here that somebody is getting all upset about. Did you hear that ESPN actually had to apologize for this report? Let's take a listen.
The vote of confidence.
All right, Justina, the other big story with the Rams, they have roster cuts. Later today, 4 o'clock Eastern, they have to get that roster down to 75. And there's been some interest as to whether or not Michael Sam has played well enough to make that top 75 and then eventually the final 53. How is he fitting in with his Rams teammates so far?
Well, Jay, defensive tackle Kendall Lankford said that Michael Sam is simply just one of the guys, and he seems to be taking a rookie approach in terms of just listening and learning at his own pace. He said that you can tell he's just trying to feel his way through and perhaps see what guys he can relate to. But another Rams defensive player told me that, quote, Sam is respecting our space and that from his perspective, he seems to think that Michael Sam is waiting to kind of take a shower as not to make his teammates feel uncomfortable, while Lankford and linebacker Alec Ogletree told me that they didn't know that specifically and also weren't tracking that. Now, while Lankford told me, listen, I have not been in the shower at the same time as Michael Sam, he said that there definitely could be a million reasons as to why that is. He said he could be doing extra work on the practice field. He could be riding his bike. He could be doing extra.
And there we have it. So ESPN was forced to apologize for saying that Michael Sam is not showering with his teammates, that he's waiting out of, I don't know what you want to call it. I don't want to apologize for Michael Sam or anything I say about him. But how crazy is it that ESPN had to release a statement that they were insensitive to the LGBT community because of Michael Sam and the showers? Now, is that a real-life issue to you? You have a lot of people. And again, how comfortable would you be if you were a man showering with women and you're attracted to women? Isn't that the same thing? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Kevin Miller, the main man in the menacing world of media.
Kevin, stay fired up. We love you out there. We're glad you're there. We're glad you're doing a good job.
I just want to thank you because I appreciate it. I don't always get the facts, so I like hearing it. So thanks.
Hey, Kevin, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for being here and teaching us all this good information.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Cell phone video taken Monday morning, just seconds before shooting instructor Charles Vaca was shot by one of his students.
But no, we have to keep that held in.
This is the last thing Vaca said before he was shot.
All right, full auto.
The 39-year-old Army reservist and instructor was employed for about a year and a half at the range. We spoke with Mojave County Sheriff Jim McCabe, who says the gun range is up to date with their permits and has never had a problem.
It's so easy for us to go back and look at something that's very tragic and say, boy, why did that occur? That should not have happened because of. And maybe from now on, that because of will be in place.
Mojave County Sheriff Jim McCabe says his office has closed their investigation, and he says no criminal charges will be filed.
There we have it, a tragedy yesterday. And we talked a little bit about it, but Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, when he's not telling me how great the Broncos are going to be doing, and when he not bombards me on Facebook, when he's not bombarding me on Facebook, is here to talk a little bit about this case. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Not bad. Just trying to make hay of what's going on. It's great that the Broncos are back. College football's back. Of course, it's the opiate for the masses, if you ask me, and I willfully partake in it. But you take a look at this tragedy. Could it have been avoided? In your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Monday, what turned out to be one family's adventure went horribly, horribly wrong. A 9-year-old girl, as you know, from New Jersey, accidentally shot and killed her instructor with an Uzi submachine gun while he stood to her left side trying to help her. We've seen the video of what had happened with this particular incident. You know, the parents apparently had actually videoed their child as she was attempting to shoot this highly powered automatic submachine gun, which ultimately resulted in the death of Charles Vaca, a 39-year-old seasoned instructor. It seems that this particular incident occurs far more often than we had previously been led to believe. There are at least 45 incidents of minors either shooting themselves or others with regard to guns. And this particular incident basically occurred as a part of a tour package where a company had, as a part of a tourist attraction, they put together a package. They charged $200 a person. A bus would pick up these visitors at their hotel in Las Vegas and then go north to the Hoover Dam.
You know, I'm very familiar with this tour company. You see it all the time when you fly into Vegas. Shoot submachine guns, shoot Tommy guns. And I thought, wow, this is an interesting vibe here. But what happens when it goes too far? And unfortunately, my friend, we keep seeing the video on television.
Well, obviously it sells newspapers. It sells, this is what me is about, the sensation of it. What's troubling to me is the concept that we now in our society are looking at automatic weapons as toys and allowing children to play with them. You have to ask yourself the question, what's wrong with these people? But we're talking about essentially legal rights, legal remedies, and the culture of guns that we face. And this is giving fodder to the discussion that we've had before with respect to gun control and what should the law be with respect to the use of these type of weapons in our society. You know, on the one hand, you have people that, if you look at the extremes on both sides, on the one hand, you've got people that are saying, you know, we shouldn't have these guns at all in our culture or our society, and they should be illegal, you know, the gun control folks. On the other hand, we have extremists on the other side that say, well, the Constitution provides that we have a constitutional right to bear arms, and that should be unabridged. And even to the extent where they believe that they and anyone else should be able to own a tank, own a nuclear weapon, and that's, as you in your own words, you've said, a right unexercised is no right at all. But then you end up with a tragedy like this where you find children using these weapons, even under a supervised condition, as was the case here where someone gets injured or killed, or in some cases even the child gets hurt. I can't imagine what this 9-year-old is going through right now. This is a lifetime memory that she'll never forget.
Well, with respect, at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law here, with respect, and we want to make sure that we do have respect for the dead here, but why was the 9-year-old there shooting the weapon? I mean, shouldn't there be, as we talked about earlier, where was the common sense here with this?
Well, out the door.
Especially an automatic weapon. You know, when you're taught in basic training, look, even with a 3-round burst, it's tough to control.
If you look at this particular weapon, the 9mm Uzi, this particular weapon is known for its recoil. When you're using it in an automatic mode, it will recoil up, but typically to the right. And if you look in the video, the instructor was to the left. And so this was an uncommon accident as far as this particular incident goes. But this 9-year-old little girl was positioned appropriately by the instructor. But her reaction to the firing the weapon, it's clear that she herself was surprised. She had taken one single shot, and the instructor moved it to the automatic mode and said, basically, go for it.
Right, but let me bring out the progressive screaming liberal Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. There's a difference between your dad teaching you how to use a shotgun and how to use a weapon, whether you're 9, whether you're 10, whether you're 12 or 15, and then somebody giving you access, and again, with respect to this tragedy, to an automatic weapon that, you know, in spite of what Chuck Norris will do in his movies with the Uzis, gives you the recoil.
Well, exactly. The point is that it doesn't appear that there was any training whatsoever given to this young girl, little girl, before she was given the weapon and allowed to fire this weapon. This particular tour spot apparently provides tourists with this opportunity to come fire automatic weapons.
And oh, yeah. You big sign when you go into the Vegas airport. Whether you want to fire a Tommy gun, whether you want to fire a 50 caliber, it's been featured on a lot of programs, if you will, that, you know, you can come live your dream. Now, I think for adults, that's okay. For kids, not so much.
Well, some ranges in the area do prohibit young children heavy weapons, but the last stop, which was the location where this incident occurred, allows children as young as 8 years old to participate.
Yeah.
The Bullets and Burgers said on its website that customers could shoot a wide variety of fully automatic machine and belt-fed guns, including the AK-47, the Colt M16, the MP5-40, the FAL, and a litany of other weapons, including a grenade launcher.
Now, do you have an issue with that?
I do when it comes to children that are 9 years old.
But adults.
Adults, no. Yeah. I don't.
Well, then where's the liability here at 580KIDO, morally, ethically, and legally? Is it with the instructor? Is it with the parents?
Well, that's an interesting, complex question. From the criminal standpoint, in Las Vegas, the sheriff's department has investigated this incident, and they have announced, as reported, that no crime had been committed, and that they are not going to prosecute anyone affiliated with this particular incident. From the civil side, under Nevada law, there are a couple of potential claims here. One, obviously, is the death case of the instructor, and he's going to be covered by workers' compensation. The question is whether or not workers' compensation for his family is going to be the exclusive remedy, or whether he would be entitled to sue the employer for, you know, the reckless endangerment. And that's yet to work its way through the courts. Another interesting issue will be in where this girl comes from in New Jersey as to whether or not authorities there would step in and saying that there was some type of child endangerment because of what the parents did while they were on vacation, even though it was in a different form than New Jersey. If had this happened here in Idaho, I think that the parents would have been subject to an investigation here by our Department of Health and Welfare on the question of endangerment.
You expect that to happen in New Jersey?
I don't know. I've seen cases like this throughout the country, and one is in wonderment why a parent would allow something like this to occur. But you asked the question, where's the common sense here? And that's the problem is that some people believe because it's not necessarily illegal, then it's okay to do it.
Let's take that up in a minute here at 580KIDO. More with our great friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Are you billing me for this?
Absolutely.
There are no free rides on the Miller Show. Let's get you to work safely.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with K. Milley at 580KIDO. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our friends from the Boise school system, get a back-to-school tips. Speaking of which, let me hit you with this. We're talking about the situation that happened in Las Vegas. You have a 9-year-old who, tragically shot her shooting instructor. Do we need laws to make sure that little kids don't fire automatic weapons when, let's face it, A, it's already against the law, and B, don't we have 5,000 gun laws on the books already?
That's a great question, Kevin.
I don't know where I got that from, but yes.
Well, I'll tell you, this incident happened back in 2008 where a young boy was firing an automatic weapon and actually accidentally shot himself and he died. And the Connecticut legislature took this up, debated it, and enacted legislation which basically prevented any minor child under the age of 16 years old from possessing or using an automatic weapon. And obviously laws of this type and kind are designed to protect the public, both as to property damage and bodily harm. In this particular case, had such a law been in force and effect, this incident wouldn't have happened. It's tragic that there's a death here. It's tragic as to what problem this little girl's going to have throughout her life in dealing with this memory.
You bring that up. That's a very valid point that's probably overlooked by most of us.
I think that's paramount here. As a an assistant football coach, as an assistant baseball coach, and as a Boy Scout leader. I'm working with these children every week, and we work activities into their schedule to teach them, to educate them, and inspire them, to help bring them up as contributing adults. And I've been thinking much about this little girl. It's a tragedy that the instructor was killed.
Either put your headphones on or take them off, because we're getting some feedback there. But
there we go.
And you're right. The tragedy.
The tragedy is what's left of this little girl. Obviously, we're protecting her name. That's not in the public. But how is she going to be able to deal with this and the counseling that she's going to need to survive this? And how, and where do we go from here to protect other children in her class? You know, there should be laws here to protect children. That's what we do. We have some very obtuse laws that we enforce.
Protect children from their own parents.
Well, to protect them from bad decisions of parents. You know, obviously, in this particular case, people thought this would be a fun experience, and it turned into a tragedy. Even though it's an uncommon situation, how common is it for a 9-year-old to be given a war machine, a submachine gun that can shoot 600 bullets a minute? I mean, it's just absurd to think that people would allow that.
Good point. That'll have to be your final thought there, Counselor. Sidebar.
Thank you very much.
Sustained. 580 KIDO, let's get you to work.